Show on In-Depth Radio. News Talk 1010. You're listening to the all-new Pei Chen Show on In-Depth Radio. News Talk 1010.
That's right.
Never gets
still
old.
Still here.
Never gets old.
Haven't left. Why? Because Vinny almost didn't even show up at the top of the show. I'm Pei Chen. I have a show on at 8 p.m. It's over now.
Okay. Can you sort of just remind me when I get to talk on my own show? Would that be all right?
Nope, done.
I'm a bit worried about you, actually, because I admit I was in a bit of a fluster here. I have a guest in later, and I had to go and let him in, and that was difficult because the elevator didn't work.
Where is he now?
And then he's in the hangout room, in the chill-out room, listening to us.
So I brought you some Timbits.
Shut up. And then I needed a pee. And then I came in here and Pei Chen was stood at the microphone as if she was Vinnie White.
I was going to save your butt because you were away and I was going to start the show instead of having dead air. Listeners don't want dead air.
You are like a sort of Asian female Vinnie in many ways.
Yep.
Very beautiful.
No, that's an awful thing to say to me. I don't want to be... Hey now, wait a minute. I'm tweeting a photo.
Right, I'm going to confiscate your phone.
No. Nope.
After that, can you stop?
I'm not even working.
No, but you are because you're here. So if you're going to be here...
I am tweeting this photo.
Don't let yourself down and don't let the whole class down.
I want to let the whole class down.
Or you'll be stood in the corner with a dunce hat on. Okay, let's start this show properly because that was a complete mess. Hello, good evening. Nice to be here. It's 9:08. We are in Toronto, the biggest city. It's summer. Well, not the biggest city in the world, but biggest city in Canada. And dare I say the best fact... and I'm with Pei Chen, who I usually smuggle into my show for a little while, and I'm going to do it again today because we like the banter, although I feel sometimes there might not just be tension. I think there might be sexual tension.
I wouldn't call it sexual.
Why are you undressing then?
You usually undress, and that's the part where my gag reflexes start to kick in. When Vinny wears a button-down shirt, he usually starts to take it off.
First text, Pei and Vinny need an hour-long crossover show. Well, it's getting that way, to be honest. It was half hour last week. I'm going to kick you out about 8:30 because I have a guest, a proper one.
What if I'm not even going to stay till 8:30?
Well,
I feel you really assume many things about me, including...
Let me just give you that. There you go.
Vitamin water, triple X.
Bought it myself.
But, is that triple X corn-flavored?
Unlike, I don't know what flavor it is, but it's really nice. Unlike what you were last week when you were drunk on the air after your wine tasting, remember?
I wasn't drunk.
I've got a story about that. You really, really didn't help me by giving me a bottle of wine.
So last week I had a brief little wine tasting, but red wines to drink for the summer. Mm. And the sommelier kindly left 3 bottles of wine.
Mm.
So there are 3 of us here in the building, Elliot, technical producer, myself and Vinny. I shared the love, and we all took a bottle of wine home.
Yes, but because you'd opened the bottle of wine, I had to insert the cork back into said bottle of wine. And then when I went to Pizza Pizza after work, because I always eat healthily in quality restaurants. Mm. Actually, I think they advertise with us. They are the best pizza known to man. When I went there, I ordered my chili, which, by the way, not spicy enough, but that's a...
I didn't know they served chili.
Yeah, I know, and I don't really know what I was thinking, because it's really hot. As in temperature. But anyway, doing that, and the man says behind me, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. He says, are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm great. I'm leaking wine out of my bag on my back, and it looks like I'm having a period. It was awful.
Okay, well, Elliot, I would like to ask Elliot if he spilled his wine on the way home, because I didn't.
I did not spill anything.
My wine made it home perfectly fine.
Yeah, but you probably didn't walk with a bag on your back with an open bottle of wine in it.
I put it in my purse and took the subway and then walked.
Mm, and then sat in a park and finished it.
I did.
Like you always do.
Yeah, that's what I do every time I leave here.
With your shopping cart and your cats.
No, squirrels.
Anyway, all this to say, I want to thank Pizza Pizza because they were fantastic. They mopped up the floor behind me and gave me loads of toilet paper and toweling to put inside my bag. Don't worry about the fact that all my important books that I use for the incredible intelligent research for this show were damaged thanks to wine
Penthouse,
damage.
Hustler magazine.
It was Big Boobs 4. Not 4 Big Boobs. That'd be really weird. That'd be really niche.
It'd be quite a targeted audience.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you weren't bred enough to take your wine home without spilling it.
Did you just say I'm sorry you're inbred enough?
You weren't bred enough.
Oh, I see. Because I'm not inbred. Give me 6.
That's where he dropped his pants.
So, Oh, the fun we have. Gosh. So that was that. Guess what? I'm going to tell you a story about, and it's something that happened to me this weekend, and guess how the story starts?
I don't know, but you look like you have printed off an encyclopedia.
That's for later.
Did you actually read all those pages?
No.
Nope. You just printed them off.
Yeah.
Killing trees.
I wouldn't worry about it. That's the second part of the show. That's the serious part of the show where I talk to professionals.
Are you going
to
tell me a story? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
What is it about? About you going out to a pub,
there we go.
Having an expensive pint of beer, talking to some jerk.
It is. It's the same story every week, but a slightly different version. Got a new one about an expensive beer. And I know what you're going to do because you hate me so much. You always take the other person's side. Well, I'd like to see you take the other person's side on this one.
I don't always take the other
person's side.
I just think you always tell a story where the other person was such a huge jerk and you overpaid for your beer. But then I think the other person is probably saying, I met this British guy. He was such a jerk.
Mm.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I may not take their side. Doesn't mean I'll take your side. I'll just be unbiased.
Mm. Switzerland.
I am Switzerland. I'm Swiss.
I went out last night.
Surprising.
Had a couple of beers.
Shocking.
Actually, I didn't. I had one beer. That's
because it was so expensive.
Well, this is the thing. Right. Shall I name the bar? Because I kind of want to oust them.
Well, did they do anything terrible?
Yeah.
That's just their price.
No, okay, it's not. No, that's the story, Pei Chen. Hold the phone, big dog.
Hold the phone.
So I go out last night. I was in Liberty Village. I don't think there's that many bars there. I was in one of the bars there. I'm not a massive fan of it, to be honest, but I'm there because my friend's birthday. And as a terribly popular man with one friend,
yeah.
I thought it was a good idea to go along to their birthday. So they were already there. I went to the bar. Because I'm a young, independent, groovy man, and I wouldn't mind a pint of beer, because I'm social. And I go up, she says, pint, that's, what is it? I need to get this right. $6.75, which is bearable, albeit somewhat annoying. But that's, I would say, perfectly acceptable in this city, where I have paid up to $11 a beer.
That's disgusting.
I know, I had to have counselling. I haven't even got over it.
I don't know where you paid $11 for a beer.
No, it was not worth it. So last night, $6.75. Happy days. That's all right, isn't it?
It's okay.
Great.
I guess.
She didn't give me change back from 10.
Ooh.
That's a bit of a
That's
reach.
Not okay.
No. So.
I think she forgot.
Well, this, you say she forgot, young lady. How old are you? I just want to know if I can.
29 plus.
You took quite
eight.
A long.
I'll be 37 next month.
Okay. Good. Glad we got there. Through painful math. So, yeah, I'm going to call you a young lady because you know. What are you? You're not.
What? Why did that? Why did
you? I just realized that you're older than me.
Why did you have such a delay? Shut up.
Shut the front, the back, the side, and every other portal. Here you are.
Well. Oh,
hang on. I'm 36.
What? I'm 30. I'll be 37 August 12th.
March 4th.
Okay. Well, I'm older than you by a few months, but I'm more mature than you by years.
Bollocks. Okay. So, where was I?
She didn't give you change.
Yeah, it's always dragging out, isn't it? It's not even that good. Right. I didn't get the change. She, meanwhile, went to count her tips, which, by the way...
In front of you?
Tips.
Yeah, I know what I mean. She counted them in front of you?
Yes.
Like, was she done her shift?
Well, she had her back to me at the till.
Oh.
And she was counting the enormous pile of money next to it. And I was adding in front. I was going to add to that pile by putting my tip when it came back. But you can't assume a 325 tip.
No, that's excessive.
No. So she says to me, well, actually, she didn't say anything because she ignored me. Then I said to the enormous man who was also serving, who was frankly intimidating by his sheer size, although I'm a little fella. And I said, could you get her attention? And he said, and I quote, why? And I said, because, well, I think she owes me some change. And he said, okay, I'll get it. She comes over. She said, what do you need? I said, well, I'd quite like my change. I don't think you can assume a 325 tip on a beer. She said, and I quote, well, you weren't there when I looked round. You were talking to those guys over there. Pointed to a group of random men. Never seen them in my life. I said, I don't even know who they are. So, eventually, I'm being really polite and reasonable, which I know is astonishing. Shut your face.
But that is shocking. Polite and reasonable, shut your face. No. I have a really hard time imagining that you were
to you,
so
I don't have to be, because
polite.
We've got this sexual, boisterous tension. did you want that drink now? Oh, no, you actually dry heaved. Anyway, so I've just, oh, you're like a sister to me. I can talk to you like that. I'd never talk to a stranger like that. So I was really polite.
Sexual chemistry with his sister. This is another topic.
Did I tell you I'm from Alabama? Here's my wife and here's my sister. Yep. Only one woman. So, yeah, I said to her, this is astonishingly rude. I really shouldn't, you know, be put in this position. She gave me my money back. She said, you know what? I don't even need your money right now. And I thought that was weird because I was going to give her a tip, just not a $3 one.
That.
I was stupidly, because I'm so stubborn, I'm such an idiot, that I forced a dollar and I said, you will take a dollar, which is the most stupid thing I've ever done.
That was dumb.
I know. It was really stupid.
You will take my money for being a bitch.
I know. I was more petty than her. I was annoyed at myself for that. Meanwhile, Mr. Hightower from Police Academy comes over, the biggest man I've ever seen, and said, sorry, is there a problem here? Now, it's all done now.
Yeah.
Can't be bothered. I still haven't seen my friends who are over there having a good time.
Yeah.
I've been at the bar for 10 minutes. I said, no, there's no problem. Everything's fine. He says, why don't you explain to me exactly what's going on? I said, there's nothing to explain. He said, if you've got a problem with her, you've got a problem with me. Like some cop from the States.
Probably you're being
on
a bit of a
steroids.
Jerk.
I promise I wasn't. Honestly, I hereby accept that I can be condescending and my accent can sound like I'm full of myself and that some people think I'm an idiot. And I accept all of that. I really do. I promise. Okay. But I promise you, I wasn't.
You're being like very genuinely polite.
Really? Yeah, I've been living in this country for 7 years. I know the charm offensive when I need to. I was being nice.
Okay.
I lived in Ottawa. Have you been to Ottawa?
Yep.
You can't be an arse in Ottawa. They're too nice. They kill you with kindness. When I used to smoke, I stood next to the road. People used to stop, assuming that I wanted to cross it. They're too nice. Some of that's rubbed off on me.
I don't think so.
I'm going high again. Some of that's rubbed off on me.
I don't think it has.
Anyway, I had to explain the whole thing to him, and he said, would you like to see the management? So, my question to you, should I have said yes? Or is that just dragging it all out?
It's dragging it out.
Yeah.
I think she was being kind of a bee, and you maybe could have said, you know, I don't think you should assume that you can keep someone's change. Even if it's a dollar, you never assume. I used to be a server. Even if somebody just had 25 cents, you gave them the 25 cents back. Yeah. If they choose to leave it to you, they would.
Yeah.
Sometimes they took it back because I serve students. And you glared at them. But you should never, ever, ever assume.
To
that
assume
that's...
is to make a what? Hmm?
Me.
That's right.
Yep.
Tried to put you in a corner there, but no one puts pay in the corner.
That's right.
It's 9:19. Haven't called you Pen yet.
Nope.
That's good,
waiting
isn't it, Pen?
For it. Yep. Waiting for it.
I was listening to your podcast because I don't always get to hear your show because I'm planning this, as you can tell from this show so far, very highly planned. And I have to say, you're quite the professional.
Why do you say that?
I listen to it. And
I don't trust anything you say. That is remotely complimentary.
See, this is the problem. This is going back to what I was saying. My lack of sincerity, yeah, the result of my raving sarcasm, means that when I am actually giving a genuine compliment, like I am just then.
Thank you.
Like I am just then.
Sounds Which like, podcast did you listen to?
Sounds like a Bon Jovi lyric. Like I am just then. I was listening to last week.
Oh, who was I talking to?
Oh, where was I
sounding so professional?
Oh,
what moment?
Just
on paychen.com is where you can listen to these podcasts. Vinny White hasn't heard them, but...
Well, it's too busy because I'm listening to myself on vinnywhite.co.uk. You can plug. I'll outplug you, baby cakes.
Oh, yeah.
I was listening to last week's show about the wine. Actually,
and on
I was,
the wine.
And I was actually getting ideas for pairings.
Oh, for the wine that you spilled on the floor of Pizza Pizza.
Yeah. I had half a bottle
and
left.
And you know what? I gave you the most expensive wine. Out of all those three bottles, the one you had was the most expensive.
Well, the janitor at Pizza Pizza is delighted with your contribution to his floor. Thank you so much. So, before we do, I'm going to do life coaching later. I want to talk about, on this show, I want to talk about how you can live a better life. Are you happy? Is everything okay? Is there any way I can help? Will the life coach that I have in later be able to help you? Thoughts? I'm asking.
Who's
you.
The life coach? Can you give his name? Can you give him a little plug?
His
right
name's
now?
Jacques, but I've forgotten his last name. My apologies.
But you have 80 pieces of paper in front of you that you printed off his website. Surely his name is on one of those pages.
Can we not move on? I love it when you throw me under the bus on air. I don't know his last name. Shoot me.
I was I wasn't trying to throw you under the bus. I was asking you a very legitimate question.
I can't remember it.
What's the name of your guest?
But when he...
I wasn't asking you anything that was that I felt would put you in a corner intentionally. But I'm sorry if I asked you a question that was perhaps a little too difficult for this time of evening.
That was pretty tricky. News Talk 1010, Vinny Pay. Even that I get wrong sometimes, as you know.
Most of the time.
So don't tax my little brain.
Are you going to improve your life after talking to a life coach?
Well, I hope so. I suppose we should ask people to phone in on 416-872-1010 and text in 71010 if you've got any life problems or any questions for a life coach. Really? I'll tell you one of mine, and one of these I'm going to ask him, although I'm not sure that it's something he specialises in.
What?
Why do I get so incredibly angry when people stand in front of me on the escalator? I mean, I could go insane. That's how annoying I find it. When people are chatting or texting and I want to get through.
And they block the left and the right side.
Yeah.
It bugs me too. You're supposed to stand on the right, walk on the left.
Well, in the defense of Toronto, I looked it up. And can you believe this? They actually had some signs here in Toronto that encouraged people to walk on the left. But they were removed at the recommendation of safety experts. That's why there's none left.
Oh.
So that's why, and bearing in mind that 49.9% of the people living in this city, including you and I, are immigrants, then, of course, not everyone just knows. So I
that's
blame...
That's true, not everyone knows.
No, so I kind of have to blame the TTC, which is weird because, as you know, I feel very good about that system, and it's probably the best in the world.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah? Did that sound real? Because it wasn't.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things I want to know. Why do I get so stressed about little things like that? That's one of the things I'm going to ask him. And how can I deal with it? Is there anything that you need help with?
I don't know that that's a life coach question so much as a therapist question.
Oh, is it?
I don't know. I guess he could answer it for you.
Okay, well, I'll try him. I think really I can cash in on the fact that he's here for free and not have to pay $300 an hour for therapy. Really?
Oh, you would need more than that, probably.
Yeah.
In therapy.
What, more than an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then it wouldn't be a quality radio show because some of the best bits of this show are me angry. Imagine if all talk radio hosts, imagine if Jerry Agar...
The best bits of your show are the ones where I'm on it. Right?
My silence is golden. Imagine if Jerry Agar wasn't angry. Imagine that. If
are you trying to be Jerry Agar?
No, I'm not. I don't want to be him. The same way I don't want to be Howard Stern. I respect them in their own right, but I don't want to
Jerry
be
Agar
them.
Jerry Agar is actually super sweet. Does that surprise you?
I've met him plenty of times. I'd say he is, actually. I like him. Yeah, he's quite passive when he's not on a rant, which is every 3 to 4 million years. Mm-hmm. He's a great guy. So that's what we're going to be doing later. So you don't need any help. You don't want to ask this guy any questions? Because if you leave me a question, I'll ask him when he sits in your chair.
Well, I guess I'm a little confused as to what a life coach does exactly. Is it does a life coach help you with your career? Does a life coach help you with your love life? Because
all of the above. Absolutely.
Are you sure?
Yeah, and the two are very often intertwined, particularly if you're having an affair like we are. I never managed to get you to dry heave twice on one show. Well, I dropped a bomb there, didn't I?
Oh, everything Vinny White says is not true.
Last week, hey, drinking booze, half hammered on the show. This week,
so not even
doing vomit noises.
I feel like I need to drink even just because you said such horrible things.
I like the way, by the way, since we're on the subject of vomit, thanks so much for trying to push these Timbits on me, which you said on your own radio show that I was listening to on the way in, some idiot has left some stale, horrible Timbits. I come in, give you a bottle of vitamin water.
Because I said to you, why are you not bribing me with food to stay and do your show? And then you said, hey, I brought you some vitamin water. And then I said, hey, I left you some Timbits.
Yeah.
That that were left from probably Rob and Doug Ford.
Why'd you say that, Pay?
What? Allegedly
well,
left.
Why? Yeah. Why?
The Timbits were allegedly left by Rob and Doug Ford.
No, of course
I don't
not.
Have proof of that, but
well,
they were here
I
before
can prove
us.
That they weren't because there's some still in the box.
Well, they don't like the powder Timbits and they don't like the jelly ones.
Did you hear about the man that blew up?
What blew up?
I want to tell you this story. This in the news today, and I liked it so much that I thought I'd bring it in and read it out. Rowan County man killed in explosion. Awful story. Killed
fireworks.
Kentucky State Police are investigating the death of a man. Police say Richard Jones, 52, died after an explosion on his front porch. Awful, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
Police say Jones's oxygen tank exploded. Investigators say preliminary information indicates Jones was smoking a cigarette at the time. His family tells us that he has had three prior explosions at his home for the same reason. But this one was different because, quote...
He died.
Yep.
This one was different because...
Here's a little bit of audio from the report.
Like three times before, family says his oxygen tank exploded, but this time was different. It killed Jones.
He's gone and I'll never see him again, said Addie Parker, Jones's sister, showing that she understands the concept of death and really has no time for Buddhism. And I'll miss him. Will you miss him because a certain amount of your life revolved about watching him explode next door? She lives next door to him. His house went up in flames. State police say someone passing through the area noticed the fire and ran for help from a neighbour who happened to be Jones's sister and her husband. They live in the Lambeth Hollow Road in Kentucky, a small town in Kentucky. And there was really nothing anybody could have done. His injuries were bad. His clothes were still smouldering, the sister said. She is shocked that Jones is dead and how he died. I'd always told him to not smoke around his oxygen tank, she said. He's not a great listener. Yeah, the sort of listener that might have learned to listen in a helicopter. His sister said he didn't want to help. He didn't want help. I offered to get help, but he didn't want anything. You can't help anybody that doesn't want to help themselves.
He probably lost his hearing from the previous two explosions.
Previous three explosions. This is the fourth.
This is the fourth.
It's the fourth
so
time.
So he probably can't hear anything. So for someone to warn him not to do it again was just a moot point.
I'm not a qualified doctor, but I'm pretty sure smoking when you're on oxygen isn't a great idea. Even if you're not concentrating on the potential explosion, lungs, they love air. They really do. They're so old-fashioned. When you have a medical condition that means you need oxygen, it probably isn't going to speed up the recovery to smoke cigarettes. Also, if your oxygen tank has if your oxygen tank has exploded three times when you're lighting a cigarette, there's a pretty high chance that the laws of physics haven't changed since last week when you shot across the porch.
He's a risk taker.
Darwinism at its best.
He knew it was going to happen. He just wanted to go.
That's what I think.
He knew it would happen at some point.
He wanted to go with a bang.
He did. He wanted to go doing what he loved.
Exactly.
And that was...
And he probably said, these cigarettes are going to kill me one day.
Yeah. These cigarettes mixed with my oxygen tank.
It must be difficult to know what to say at his funeral. What would you say? Oh, so shocking. No one would have seen this coming apart from absolutely everyone that knew him.
He lit up the night sky like a firework.
I'm so sorry you lost your brother, a man that makes an art of breathing with a tank look actually quite complicated.
This time was different.
What a way to go.
Well, you know what? That means that every time he lit up, he was like, it was probably an adrenaline rush.
Yeah, exactly.
Like jumping out of a plane because you're like, this might be the one. Yeah. Or like if you're on a bomb squad and you're taking apart a bomb, you're like, ooh, red wire, blue wire. And it's that feeling of like, ooh, this could be the one.
It really heightens smoking. Hey, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm going to kick you out and make way for an incredibly important guest.
What's his name?
Coming up, a life coach right here on News Talk 1010.
You're tuned in to The Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Yes, yes. Pei Chen has departed, but left no void, not a Pei Chen-shaped hole. Oh, that sounds... Yeah, let's move on. We've got a wonderful gentleman that's taken her place anyway, and his name is Jack Birsch, who I'm going to call a coach, a connector, and a creator. Is that right, Jack?
Yes, sir.
Nice to meet you. Nice to have you on. First of all, how did you get into this, and what's your primary job in life now, then? That's a big loaded... Let's start with the first bit. How did you get into this? Give us some of your background.
No worries, actually. I was a bartender for a long time. Paid my way through school and travel and... you obviously get to listen to a lot of drunk people and hear a lot of their issues come up.
And I assume, being a gentleman and a scholar, that you didn't assume a tip of $3 on every drink.
Far from.
Good man. Well done, that man. Okay, so a barman, and then born where?
Born in Germany.
Okay.
I came to Canada when I was 3.
Mm-hmm. And then I would imagine there was a gap between you being 3 and being a barman.
Yes, sir.
Under Ontario legislation.
You know what? At the end of the day, it's an amazing story. I'm a foster kid. I grew up on a farm south of Windsor, Ontario. Mm. I served in the Canadian Armed Forces, and I worked in, I was a sales manager for Westmont Hospitality, and managing, I still have a job, unfortunately, as I'm not living all my dreams at this time, but I do coaching on the side, and I'm still in hospitality. About 3 years ago, I was introduced to a personal professional development company, and I just lit up, and I've taken over 20 personal professional development programs. And also some NLP courses.
Neuro-linguistic programming.
Correct, yeah.
Which is the science of, not physically, but certainly mentally, rewiring the brain to a certain degree. Is that right?
Well, and natural learning patterns. And basically, it's the study of results. How do you get results?
Mm. Yeah. When people come to you as a life coach, as a developing part of your life, as a coach, a connector, a creator, what do they come to you for? What can you help people with?
Well, listen, we always have a loss of power in some area, right? Hmm. And often, you know, we simply don't believe that we're the solution. And when in fact, if you can just, you know, get quiet enough and listen to yourself, we do have the answers. And there's a lot of, you have to let go of the fear of looking bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you can take on responsibility for your own actions, then that's a really good place to start.
Well, that sounds terribly scary for a start. I try to pass on all responsibility to others in every possible way. Like, if this show's bad, can I just say now it's definitely Pei's fault? And I, like many people, find myself quite angry in certain situations, particularly escalators. Drive me insane. Little things tend to wind me up. And as in traffic, I'm sure we can all relate to in this city. One of the things that I'd like to ask you to kick off with is, how can I/we as individuals learn to be just a bit more relaxed and a bit more in control of our anger? I'm going to oust myself and take personal responsibility right now that I do sometimes get a bit too annoyed in stupid little situations. Maybe that barmaid last night, I really shouldn't have been that bothered about it. It really shouldn't have been an issue that burned a hole in me and I kept on my shoulders. You know, maybe the idiots that are texting in front of me on the escalator, maybe actually really that it's not worth being upset about. How can we as individuals get less angry about those stupid little things that sometimes can really ruin our day?
Listen, you know what? I'm on TTC as well, and I get frustrated equally, okay? And you're going to feel whatever you feel. So if you can just get that simply it's an emotion, and we're designed that way, and it's just going to happen, you know what? Take on a couple of things that will help you cope with it. Either give yourself a step back, right? Maybe give yourself a little more time to travel, or simply every time you get upset, you know, just realize that it's just the price of living with 6 million people.
Yeah.
Okay. And
some of them are going to be idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether you like it or not. Expectation actually is a really relevant one, isn't it? A lot of philosophers have decided over the years that actually if you just, you know, particularly in traffic, such a great environment to use this metaphor and reasoning, probably tomorrow in your car, you'll probably come across an idiot that cuts you up. You'll probably get someone that you let out that doesn't wave. You'll probably get someone that blocks the box so you can't cross, and then it delays the whole thing, and they probably aren't apologetic. If you know that's probably going to happen, and it probably is going to happen, then actually your life is going to be a lot easier. So perhaps our expectations should shift as well.
Well, here's a question. I mean, when someone's in front of you on transit, like, do you think it's their intention to rally you up?
Mm.
Or is it simply they're just involved in their own world, doing their own thing?
Mm.
Now, unfortunately, most people aren't necessarily even aware of the impact they have on others.
Mm.
Okay. And one of the greatest lessons I ever got from the military was be aware of your surroundings and move with a sense of purpose.
Mm.
You know, one of my greatest upsets myself is I'm in the mall, I'm walking in front of someone, and they automatically stop. And I'm like, if you were driving a car, there'd be a collision.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Just because you're in a public space, you still have to be responsible for the zone you're in. Okay.
Yeah.
But again, that's all about me making somebody wrong so I can be right. And I'm aware of that. Okay.
Mm.
And I just take on the fact that, you know what? I can make choices that person, their intention was not against me. Okay. And, but I will admit that I do walk a little more aggressively and I show my intention when I walk.
It sounds very logical what you're saying, but I would imagine some people have never had to face their own responsibilities. Earlier on, you said, you talked about personal accountability. A lot of people aren't very aware of that. If you've been spoiled all your life through spoiled parents, if you've the power of denial to box yourself into a nice little world, then perhaps it would be very difficult to approach these issues and to face up to the fact that you, as an individual, might be part of the problem. And there's many people like that, isn't there?
Oh, totally. So here's the thing. There are areas in my life where I want to be right, but there's a cost. But you know what? I'm willing to pay that cost as long as I can tell everyone that I'm right. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, we often have agreements with people when we speak. We don't call each other on our BS. Like, yeah, you can go and tell your stories and you can tell me about all the lies.
Yeah.
As long as you listen to mine.
Yeah. Okay? It's an unwritten rule, isn't it, between some people? Yeah.
Right.
Whereas a really good friend will say, you know what? Actually, Jack, as much as you're saying this, you're probably more to blame on this than anyone else. You must have had that when a friend puts you on the right line. You're like, I hate you. Although you are definitely right. You absolute gits. Yeah, that happens.
I want to offer this, okay? The second someone tells you something, we're not so quickly to take it, okay? But if you can show the person and give them the opportunity that they come to that reasoning on their own, that's where there's a real opportunity for them to grow. Okay?
How would you... I wanted to talk about more dreams, aspirations, and following your dreams as a sort of life coach. You must get a lot of people that are stuck or in a boring job or in a boring life or doing something they don't want to do. And I think it's very easy for you and others in your position to say, follow your dreams, do what you have to do, embrace it. You've only got one life. Live every day like it's your last, and all these other sort of very, I don't know, overused cliche
bollocks.
Sayings. Bollocks, as you say. He said it first, kids. Sorry if you're listening in the United Kingdom or Australia. There's a lot of people that talk bollocks, essentially, and say all these sort of very easy, catchy things to say. But it's a lot harder than that. So let's, you know, try and give this a face. If you're in a job that you don't like, but you've got two kids to feed, you're in a marriage that's not at its happiest, but it's not at its worst, and you don't want to chuck it all away and leave everything, financial times are hard, you're working hard, the commute's an absolute pain in the arse, you've taken a new job that's further away, or you've taken a smaller house to allow for the kids, and your commute's becoming more and more of a pain. It's all very well people saying, oh, go and follow your dreams. I can't afford to follow my dreams. I'm having a really hard time, and some days are a pain in the arse. You know, what can we do about that? I think, don't you have to have some sort of level of realism about these things?
Totally. I so agree. Okay, things have to be tangible. Okay? And honestly, you know, bring it to basics. Okay? Bring it to basics. Keep it simple. Okay? Look at your resources. Okay? And take a real inventory of where you are in your life. Okay? And again, that comes down to accountability and responsibility. And then look at the choices you make. We always make lists of things we want to add to our life, but we never make lists of things that we need to take away to make room for new things.
Okay. So what might be in that scenario? What might be some of the things that you need to take away then?
I stopped watching TV.
Mm.
Okay. That freed up a lot of time.
Mm.
Okay. That allowed me to read books. That allowed me to take other actions, you know, to progress me towards other activities or other results that I wanted to work towards.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not all about adding new things then. It's sometimes rearranging what you've got. Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Now, the other point to that is that to acknowledge yourself, okay, because we all have results in our life.
Mm.
We all have things that we want at some time. So you did get yourself there at some point.
Mm.
Okay. So start, you know, being kind to ourselves, because we often don't.
Mm.
We're always in that rush to get the next thing. Okay.
Again, though, how does one make a real conscious effort to be kind to yourself?
Yeah, I believe it's a daily exercise. You get up, eat breakfast. I've got a daily dozen. Okay. So every day, you know, I make sure I go on Facebook. I say happy birthday to all my friends. Okay. I try and meet one new person a day. I try and read for one
hour a
day. Hi,
I'm Vinny White. I work for News Talk 1010. Nice to see you. You tick that box.
I already got that prior to you.
You got
no
the,
worries.
You, oh, right. Better. Yeah. An upgrade. Cheers. What am I? The dog's dinner.
I mean, you know what? Just take on some simple things, you know, take them on each day and start being appreciative of what you have. And I think you'll be quite surprised. Okay, we take so many things for granted, you know, I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think you've ever had to go without food a day in your life, okay? Or a bed to sleep on, or access to water or medicine.
I am, and I am. See, this is a really interesting point. I am very fortunate. There is absolutely no question about it. And I believe that every day. And I like to think that I acknowledge that every day. I probably don't, in all honesty. But I like to think I do. However, it's so difficult sometimes when your boss is shouting at you, when you're stuck in traffic, all those boring things that we mentioned earlier, to say, well, I'm not on a rubbish dump just outside Managua in Nicaragua. You know, my sister hasn't got cancer. It sometimes that can be so alien to us, particularly when you live a very conformist, regimented life. Sometimes those things are so alien to us that it's actually very difficult to acknowledge how lucky we are. We always got someone in our life going, well, you should smile. You've got all your health. No, I'm bloody miserable. Mm-hmm. And you saying that isn't actually helping matters. I'm not projecting here. I'm actually quite happy. But there are times when, despite the fact that you're right, and you are absolutely right, that we are incredibly lucky. We live in a G8 country, in a clean city, with an incredibly low crime rate. The weather, albeit a pain in the ass at times, is generally fairly reasonable. You know, we are lucky, but sometimes it's hard to manage to realise just how lucky we are. Have you got any tips on how we can do that? Put you on the spot, isn't it?
So this is a commitment I have to myself, okay? Yeah. And that is, my life consists of the relationships I have with the people in my life. Okay, so the quality of those relationships dictate the quality of my life. And there's a term that I've learned, and it basically means to be complete, and that means no word left unsaid, no action not taken. Okay. So with the relationships I have with my people, they're full, they're strong, and that's a great place to start. Okay, because often there's things that, you know, that will trigger you, and those usually come from a relationship at some point. Okay, it could be, you know, again, through work, it could be through family. There's something that when you get up in the morning that creates that stir, okay, that tension, you know. So you need to make some changes. You need to make some breaks. You need to look at, you know, where is there a loss of power, okay?
Why do we in the West take such false importance with accolades and particularly material objects? What is this obsession? Where has it come from?
Walt Disney.
Bloody Hannah Montana, I knew it. And that Bieber, no wonder he's pissing in buckets.
Not everyone, you know, minister. Okay, that's just my own personal opinion. Okay, so yeah. I mean, there's the dream of everyone wanting their own castle, and you know, the prince and the princess and the fairy tale. And I'm not saying those things don't happen. I'm not saying people shouldn't aspire and want those things. But there's a reference point for all of us.
Again, being more realistic with your expectations. Now, not on a daily basis about traffic, but actually on a lifetime basis. How can you, because, you know, part of your job as I don't want to call you a motivator because you're not, but you're certainly a coach, a connector and a creator. Part of your job is to encourage people, I would imagine, to follow their dreams, but you're grounded, and I can tell you're very realistic, which I appreciate. Where does that balance come? So what I mean by that is, how can we be realistic enough to know that we're probably not going to have Justin Bieber's job tomorrow, we're probably not quite as good a dancer, etc., but actually this job at the bank is driving me insane and I need to step up a bit? Where does that line get drawn?
Well, you know what, in 10 years let's ask Justin Bieber if that's what he really wants. Okay?
Good point. I love the fact that of all the people I could have picked on this planet to elevate to the highest level of happiness, I picked a man that's probably the most unhappy. Shows that my connection to happiness. Good point. Well corrected. And I will slap myself stupid.
But that was not my intent. But sure. But all I'm getting at is we might surprise ourselves if we really looked at what it was that we wanted to make ourselves happy. You know, if we were to truly look to see how simple it would be, okay, I think we'd really surprise ourselves. Because whose dream are you really chasing? Yours or the perception of what someone else wants for you? Okay? Now, that's the reality part. Now, listen, you want to be a millionaire, you want a boat, you know, you want the holidays, you want all those things, go for it. It's going to take work. And there's no secret to success. There's a system, okay? So create a system. Find the people that are doing what you want to do. Occupational interviews are huge and key, okay? You know, our greatest resources are the people in our network. Okay. So, you mean we've got I mean, I have a network company as well, okay? So as a coach, I'm trying to see people bigger than they see themselves. Mm. As a connector, I love to bring two people together, watch them share the resources and create something new, okay? Mm. And as a connector, sorry, as a creator, you know, I love to be at the beginning of something new and help build, get that momentum up and going, right? And watch people take off with it.
And that must be actually quite personally fulfilling, because one of the things that I've discovered in more recent years that actually giving makes you feel a lot better than receiving anyway. So by doing this and helping and branching out and helping other people is actually very beneficial to you as an individual as well.
So consider we were never designed to do anything on our own.
Yeah.
Okay. And how great does it feel when you can actually contribute to someone else and make a difference towards them?
Mm.
So I have a dream where everyone gets 10 mates together. Okay. And for like a 3-month period. And they each week contribute 1 hour towards someone's goals and objectives.
Mm.
You know, what would that look like?
Mm.
You know, over 3 months, 10 people, it's a lot of hours working towards other people's dreams, and they can offer something each to them.
Mm.
You know, we forget. It's community. It's community that actually really allows us to succeed.
And you're right to say we forget. That's a really key statement, I think, because we forget over a process of what might now be 100, 1,000 years, how important community is, particularly if you're living in a box on the lakeshore, high in the sky, with your own bills and your own individual things. I have no idea who my neighbours are. I only go to work because I want to pay my bills. There's a massive lack of community there. So it might be up to you as an individual to build one. You know your friends, help them and make it a community.
Awesome.
Don't know what just happened to me. See, the effect you have.
A new career.
Could I have some powerful music, Elliot, that might sound good? Something a bit like Top Gun or something. And then I'll say all of that again with a bit of rock. And I think we can all face tomorrow the pain of a bugger of a Monday. Actually, since we're on the subject, hang on. And you need to come together as individuals all over the world, create a community and be part of something. Something that you can call not only yourself, but others. It's very difficult to do that without having homoerotic tendencies and taking my shirt off. And if I do just pop a little nipple out, I apologise now. It's all part of the Top Gun process.
You should bring your girlfriend back into the show.
She always leaves because I get naked. You can't win in this studio. Two webcams. Never had a compliment on my body. All right, so we're going to wrap up now. I genuinely mean that was actually quite inspiring. You're the expert. You're the guy that came in here with some great advice, and I don't want to warble on. Before you go, is there anything that you can add that someone can do this week? This week, if they're feeling glum about the fact that it's Sunday night and they don't like their job or they don't like their life, what you said, you know, try to set achievable goals earlier on. What else can people do? What can we wrap up with as a sort of gem of wisdom?
There's an amazing book, Three Laws of Performance, and the three laws are power, integrity, and leadership. So power means look at where things aren't working in your life, be authentic, okay? Integrity means make a plan, okay, around how you can get different results and make some changes and stick to it, okay? And leadership means ask for help, create a community, okay? So be real with what's not working, okay? Make a plan that works for you, okay? Get some accountability, okay, to actually follow up with it.
Yeah, even though it feels hard, you have to do that.
And
yeah.
Ask, you know what? Make yourself vulnerable. People love vulnerability, okay? That's genuine. It's authentic. People want to help you. Let them.
And as a foreigner, I know you were born in Germany. I have to say, on that last note, you're in the right country. People are really helpful here, and they really do want to help you. So there you go. An insight, a fine man, a gentleman, a scholar. His name is Jack Burge. You can find him on Facebook if you would like to. And how do you spell your name?
J-A-C-Q-U-E-S. Last name, B-E-R-G-E. Thank you.
And if you want that again, you can just text me and I'll pass it on to you. The text number here is 71010. Coach, connector, creator, fine gentleman. Thank you very much. It's all a bit... I mean, it's never so good when there's one person applauding. Actually, I don't know why I did it. Elliot, at least if you're going to... Elliot's applauding in the other room, but he forgot to turn his mic on. It's all a bit mute if you don't turn your mic on.
I know, here we go. That's authentic clapping right there.
Actually, can you get some canned clapping? And that way we can have a real... He deserves more, let's be honest. There's people crying in their cars all over Toronto saying, I am inspired! Life will never be the same again. And we give him almost literally the clap from there.
There's a shocking lack of clapping in our system. I'm so sorry. I actually looked.
Fair play to you. All right, we're going to wrap up with this before we go. Korean news station pokes fun at KTVU. You may remember the fake American pilot names. The fake Asian pilot names. If you don't, have you got that snippet? This was it. And they've got their own back now. Check this out from a couple of weeks ago.
We have new information now also on the plane crash. KTVU has just learned the names of the four pilots who were on board the flight. They are Captain Sum Ting Wong, Wee Tu Lo, Ho Lee Fook, and Bang Ding Ao. The NTSB has confirmed these are the names of the pilots on board.
Quality, proving that the journalism in the United States is still second to absolutely none. Congratulations there. And you probably remember that from KTVU, a royal mess up with reading, obviously, fake Asian names for the pilots of the Asiana crash. Names like Wee Tu Lo. It's comedy gold. Well, it looks like a Korean news agency is having some fun back at KTVU's expense after the landing gear failure of the Southwestern Airlines at LaGuardia. They showed a graphic with the American pilot names Captain Kent Parker Wright. Huh? Kent Parker Wright. Co-Captain Wyatt Wooden, workman. It sort of works. It was a bit tenuous. And finally, they even went as far as making up fake names for people to interview. Flight instructor, hey, would you fly more? And skeptical passenger, Macy Lawyers! Yeah, I don't feel it was the highest point of the show to finish on, but it was a bloody good show nonetheless. Thanks for joining me. I'll be in for Jim Richards a little bit this week, I believe, on Friday. It's always a pleasure, never a chore. Get out. Yeah.